I want to talk to you a few minutes about what do you do during the toughest times waiting for your answer to come. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I'm going to read the New Living Translation. It says, faith shows us what we hope for. Faith shows us the reality of what we hope for. For it is the evidence, that is, faith is the evidence of things we cannot see. I know sometimes you can't see your immediate answer. When we say see, we mean experientially. You know, you can experience things by feeling and by thinking, by emotional level, by just kind of experience. Because when you're praying for something, you wanna touch it. You wanna see the person you're praying for. You wanna feel the answer. So what do you do in those toughest times when you've been waiting? What if it's more than 2 days? What if it's more than a month? What if it's more than 6 months? What if it's more than 1 year? What about 2 years? What about 3 years? What about 4 years? What about 5 or 10? You're still waiting. And do you question yourself whether or not you actually did this by faith and thinking that it didn't come? I remember something Brother Higgins said years ago that really helped me, and he says, if things don't change, I usually do the changing. And so we have to find out whether or not you have to evaluate yourself whether or not you're in faith or not about something. Because some things do take longer. When it comes to you and God, things can happen really quickly. But when it comes to you and circumstances that you're not in control of, then it's going to take a little bit longer. So it says faith shows us the reality. You know, reality in terms of what we're looking at now. But faith, you could say the word of God, because that's how you get faith. You get faith from the Bible or the word of God. You could say the word of God shows us the reality of what we hope for. So hope and faith are two different things. Faith is always what you're anticipating is going to happen. You're actually thinking and really excited about what's going to happen. But when it takes longer, your excitement goes a little bit down. Right? And so here it says in our chapter, or at least our text verse here, it says, it is the evidence. What is the evidence? Your faith is the evidence. Or you could say the word of God is your evidence. While you're waiting for the thing to happen, you always go back to the word and says, this is what the word of God says about my situation. Get one or two or three scriptures in it and start saying, this is what God says about my situation. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. So when you're waiting for something, you're waiting for the answer, you gotta always hang on to the word of God. And that, my fellow citizens of heaven, is what I have to say. Let's go ahead and close. And go for some chicken. Amen? How many want some chicken? I'm paying. Well, I jip you. And we say back home. I jip you. So our topic is basically faith. Believe in God, you know, learning to walk by faith. So the point is this: walking by faith isn't always so easy, but it's very simple in terms of what we need to do. We complicate it a lot of times. So faith is not always easy, though. Faith life is not easy, because life's hard, isn't it? And you have to use the word to stand on the word of God. But it's the only way to win. I said the word of God is the only way to win, because you can't win emotionally. If you could win the battles of life by crying and complaining, you would have all had it all done right now. Right? We would all just, wah, 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 and cry, and everything would be done. right then and there. Now, let's go over here to sustain ourselves more in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. I'm going to read the New Living Translation again. I like the King James Version, but let's go ahead and read the New Living, because a lot of you are New Living Christians, right? For every child of God, so how many of you are a child of God right now? Let me just see your hand. I'm just looking around right now. Some of you. Well, you're all a child of God. But you look good too. But every child of God defeats this evil world. It says the King James overcometh the world. He's not talking about the world, the physical world. He's talking about the system in which the devil is Lord. And we achieve this victory through our faith. In other words, faith is the victory. In other words, the way to go is the Word of God is the victory. The Bible is the victory. Brother Hagin used to tell us, everybody grab your Bible. That's the time we used to hold our Bible, especially when Brother Hagin was around. You brought your Bible if he's in town. And he said, hold up your Bible. Everybody hold up your apparatus, whatever you got there, your cane or whatever you got. Hold up your Bible and said, This is God speaking to me. And look at your neighbor and say, this is God. Point at them. Point at them. This is God speaking to you. So this is what we were taught at Rhema. Brother Hagin himself taught us this. And I heard him say this many, many times. And when I was in Keith Moore's class, he would always walk in and he always ask us, so how many of you have the victory? So I'm going to do it like my teachers tell me. How many of you have the victory right now? Let me see your hand. You got the victory. Let me hear you as well. Oh, my Lord. There's some of you out there excited, but some of you are not that excited. Eh? Yeah. Praise God. We have the victory. So it tells us here. Now, you might not look like you have the answer. You might not feel like it. In fact, what you prayed about even got worse. It says every child of God, that's you, defeats this evil world, that's the devil and his kingdom. And we achieve this victory through faith. In other words, your faith. Your faith. Verse 5, and who can win the battle against the world? That's the devil and all his demons and his system. Only those who believe. In other words, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you have that kind of victory inside of you. You have Jehovah Nissi, the victory, the one who achieves inside of you. I'm giving you these scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. So you can't be crying and whining and complaining and telling people how much troubles you have if you're going to win. You got to learn when to be quiet and give it to God. Don't tell all your friends, have coffee, tell them, oh, let me tell you how much troubles I had yesterday. Even the devil came to visit me. We had coffee together. And we had some, you know, and puff wheat, whatever. Right? So so it's impossible to please God without faith. So how many of you want to please God tonight? Right? So you're in there. You're just some of you entering in now. So anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists, or the King James says God is, and he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Well, we fill the bill. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. I just believe you should come to a Bible study. This is a Bible study tonight. It's not a preaching time. So if you want to go and preach, go and find a preacher. Because I'm going to give you the scriptures. Amen? We go to scripture one by one. This is a Bible study. It says, the righteous ones will live by faith. Who among you today, in this city, in this town right now, in this church, who is the righteous one right now? How many of you are righteous? Yeah? Some of you don't look righteous, but you are. Right? Say, I'm righteous. Say, Jesus made me righteous. Say, my cash money made me righteous. No. No, it didn't make you righteous, right? I tricked you. Right? So I just trick you. So sometimes you got to watch me. Okay, so yeah, I just want to know if you're awake tonight, all right? Okay, so we're not going to try that again till later. Okay, so it says here, my righteous one will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. In other words, if you turn away from faith life, God's not pleased with you. And we want to please God. That means you don't turn away from your trial. It means you don't run away when things get hard and tough. When people are against you and you go on Facebook and say, oh, they're all against me. The world is against me. Blah, blah, blah. Wah, wah, wah. Verse 39 says this. But we are not like those who turn away. Again, there's some people who turn away, but God, away from God, that's away from the word of God, to their own destruction. So destruction is waiting for you if you turn away from God and his word. Right? We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Praise God. Amen. We're saved, but he's talking about here, there's some trouble. And when you have soulish difficulties, you're going to have some trials there. So living by faith isn't easy, but it's possible. It's, you have a 50% chance to do it. Okay? Some of you have a little bit less. Some of you have about 75%. It's coming up, though. By the time the end of the day, everybody will be there. Amen? I'm glad you're awake tonight. Okay, so if you didn't respond, I would say, what's going wrong? I went to this church not too long ago, and everybody there was sad, and I tried to, any kind of scripture, they still wouldn't respond. Brother Haggard used to say, it's like going, you know, it was like grabbing a ball and throwing it over there, and it bounced right back to you. That's what it feels like. It was just the hardest time. It was like fighting demons. And it was a Christian church, too. I mean, it was hard. I mean, just really hard. And, you know, I told my wife, what did I preach? I mean, it was tough. It's like pulling teeth. But thank God I'm here tonight. So living by faith, it's God's way, and he gives us the promises in his word. You know, even in difficult times, you know, even this world is tough. Even in the best of times, the world is tough. You know, you could be happy in one area, but really troubled in another area. How many people can say amen about that? You could be just enjoying life, got a brand new car, but your tooth is sore. I mean, you're just having a great time in one area, right? You just had a meal and your back is sore. I mean, you could be having all kinds of experiences. Like, life is tough around here. Amen? Black Bay Road, one of the toughest, strongest areas in Thunder Bay. So we can both enjoy life but be experiencing challenges. During these hard times, we have to see ourselves, you know, in God's promises. We've got to look at the promises of God and hold on without quitting. Because God doesn't want you to quit. Don't throw in the towel yet. Okay? So let's go to another scripture. How many of you enjoyed the scripture so far? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, verse 12, and verse 16. To verse 16. Since God in his mercy has given us a new way, we never give up. Now, Paul is talking here about his challenges in life. He talks about his challenges as a leader. He's talking about his challenges as a missionary person. He's talking about building churches and going around preaching the gospel. And wherever he was, he had the devils give him trouble through people. How many people know that sometimes the devil will give you trouble through somebody? So we fight with that person instead of dealing with what's behind that person. So we live in the face of death, he says, verse 12. But this has resulted in eternal life for you. He's talking to these people he's helping. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believe in God, and so I speak. In other words, when you believe God, you're going to talk the faith walk and walk the faith walk. You're gonna talk it and you're gonna live by it. It's gonna be consistent throughout. So in other words, if you say you walk by faith and you're quitting, then you're really not walking by faith. So verse 14, we know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. Verse 15, all of this is for your benefit. You know, there's people in the kingdom of God are working in the kingdom of God for you, for your benefit. I'm doing it. You know, we've done things. We had to give up stuff and do different things, but God's always blessed us. I mean, yeah, sure, we had a hard time. But, you know, it's not always easy. You know, it can be messy sometimes, life. So as God's grace reaches more and more people, verse 15, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That's why we never give up. There are bodies, our bodies are dying. In other words, we're getting old. Our spirits are being renewed every day. Thank God for that. So you have, when you have God's word in you, you don't give up when those trials come. Like he said, we never give up because we know we got something to do here. So we together here, we have we have a mission here in the city. All of us, all of you have a mission here. When I went to Rhema, and I can vouch for my colleagues here, Rhema graduates, and Brother Hagin told us, when Jesus appeared to him, he said, when Jesus said, kneel down before me, and Jesus was talking to Brother Hagin, he said, kneel down before me, because before that he said, Lord, how can I do this? How can I preach everywhere? I'm just one man. So Jesus was appeared to him, said, kneel down in front of me, and Jesus pointed at him. He says, go teach my people faith. And he said, how am I going to do it? And it took him some time before the Lord had to work through him. And a lot of times you're asking questions, but the answer is forthcoming. God doesn't always answer you in a second. He's going to talk to you. And I know for myself, God talked to me a few weeks ago and last few days about some things. And he has a purpose for me. He has a purpose for you. Every one of you, God has a purpose for you. There's a reality of what God wants you to do. So he said to us one morning, I went to school, and I was ironing my shirt. I never leave that out because my wife is here. I was ironing my shirt, and I was talking to the Lord, and I was kind of crying, and, not really crying. You know, I'm complaining to God about different things. You know, we kind of grumble sometimes when God tells us to do. God says, go to faith teacher, you know. So we want to be noticed all the time. We want everybody to celebrate us and march us around Kern River and say, you're a great person. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why did I have to come here? I could have went to schools in Canada. And I said, the dollar is like two-thirds of the American dollar. Why did you send me here? And I was complaining to the Lord. And so I went to class that morning, Brother Hagin, in his class, and he's talking to us, and I'm sitting over there, and he points, and I will say he pointed at me, talking to me, because I asked the Lord this question. So why did you send me here? He said to me, I always say that because that seems like he said it to me. He says, when Jesus spoke to me, and he said, kneel down before me, I said, why did I come here? He says, when he spoke to me, pointed, he says, go teach my people faith. When Jesus pointed at me, he said, he's pointing at you to go teach my people faith. That's our mission. And don't you ever forget it. Every one of you have that mission to preach the faith message, to tell people about the word of God. That's your message. Anywhere I go out, anytime I'm called out to go into ministry, my message is faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Unless God tells me to do something else. It's always a message of faith. And so we teach faith here every once in a while. And, it's the word of God, right? So, I ask God's questions myself about different things, and he always answers me. And always tells me what I'm supposed to be doing. And he tells me another angle about something. Tells me another angle about the same thing. And I keep getting reassurance. And we serve a good God around here. Amen? Amen? So let's read some more scripture here. Hebrews 11:7 says there's in chapter 11, there's what we call heroes of faith. There's a bunch of people in there that the Bible itemized, singled out for us to give us examples. So he said, well, I don't know anybody. My cousins are all heathens and they're all drug addicts And they're all thieves. You know? I don't know if I'm talking about you. But, you know, we've said this. But you always have information here in the Bible. Because these are your ancestors, spiritually speaking. So it was by faith, verse 7 says, Hebrews 11. It was by faith Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God and warned him, God who warned him about the things that had never happened before. Amen. You might be saying, you know, I don't know how to do this. I've never been here before. I've never done this. But God's going to give you stuff to do by faith. And then you're waiting on things. You're asking God questions. You don't know what to do. You're waiting for an answer. But you're going down a road that you don't know what the answer is. And you're trying to look for answers, but God's going to give you answers. He's going to speak to you through people, messages, and different ways he'll get it across to you. He'll give you answers when you're not even expecting it. So this man, Noah, he did something he never did before. He walked by faith, and he was building an ark, and he was giving an answer. And it had nothing to do with it. It never rained before. But God told him to make this ark. So here's another one, Abraham. We all know about Abraham. He's another one who obeyed God, not even seeing, you know, the promises in the natural sight. We all say, what are we going to do when we don't see the answers? Well, what you're going to do is find the answer. You're going to find the last thing God told you to do and start there again. Start your journey. Start acting like where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to be doing. God knows where to find you. And the last prayer you prayed about giving something to God, he never forgot. Amen. He never forget. You told him something last year. He didn't forget. He knows where to find you. So Abraham obeyed. And then what God said, without any natural physical evidence. He received things God promised him. Verse 8 says, And it was by faith Abraham obeyed God when he called him to leave his home and to go to another church or another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. I said he went not knowing where he was going. I said he went not knowing where he was going. Amen. Right? So he had to leave certain things. Some of us have to leave certain ways that we are accustomed to, the way we do things. You have to leave things that you used to do, that used to give you some, you know, natural help. But sometimes you have to leave certain ways and start walking with God, just you and God. Even when he reached the land where God promised him, he lived there by faith. So when he got there, he still had to live by faith. He was a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. It's all passed on, right? Abraham was confident, looking towards the city with eternal foundations, a city designed by and built by God. Sarah had to do likewise, although it was hard to believe at first. The Bible says that in the scriptures that when God said something, talking to Abraham, and Sarah laughed because she was around the corner listening to the conversation with these angels that Abraham was talking with. And she started laughing. And the angel says, why is she laughing? And she said, I didn't laugh. He said, yes, you laughed. Well, God knows how you feel. You feel this is ridiculous. Lord, I can't. You know, we have people, and I think, you know, I've said this many times. I heard my wife say it too. If this happens again, I don't know how I'll live through it. I don't know if I'll go through. How can I go through this again? You know, time and time again, God will deliver you again and again and again. He doesn't give you five chances. He doesn't say, well, this is the tenth time. Get out of here. Go. He doesn't say that, right? We think he's going to say that, and maybe he should in the natural, you know, but he calls, come on in again, sit down, I'm going to tell you about it again. So he'll do it again and again and again and again. Because sometimes we feel like this, we're tired of our own selves, failing and falling flat on our face, but God, no, he sees, he knows us. You know, somebody says, forgive me, he says, you're a piece of dirt, you know, but we come from the dirt. We come from the ground, right? So in a bad way, but in a good way, we are dirt. So forget about it if you didn't get it. So anyway, I'm not saying anything. Verse 11, by faith, even Sarah was able to have a child. By faith or through the word of God. Though she was barren and too old. Everybody say, too old.
Too old.
Say barren.
Barren.
But she was able to have a child. By faith. So it's not the end. Right? When you're saying, oh, God can never do this. And you're waiting for the answer. No, wait a minute. Look at over here. Is Sarah better than you? Does he love Sarah better?
No.
Well, she said, she had Abraham. You know? Anyway. So, she believed God that God would keep his promise. Now, that's the thing about it. You believe God's keeping promise. So the whole nation came from one man who was even as good as dead as a nation. And so with many people like that, the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore, there was no way to count them. Now, let's talk about somebody else here by the name of Paul. Anybody know Paul? Well, Paul's ministry, he suffered greatly. We know that. And because Jesus told him, right? You know, you're going to come to the kingdom of God. And he told the other people there, I read the other day, he said, you know, after he got stoned. How many people, you know, when you get stoned, I mean, you know, when somebody throws rocks at you, I'm talking about, not stoned like, oh man, I'm stoned. Not that kind of stone. Okay? And so he was, you know, he was having a lot of trouble, people persecuting him. When he's preaching the gospel and so on, he gets kicked out of town. He comes back, sneaks in. I mean, does all kinds of stuff, goes through and climbing up places and hiding under things and whatever. Anyway, a lot of times he was brave enough to go outside, but they, you know. But anyways, he got slapped around. He got beaten up, and they stoned him. And they left him for dead. But the believers came around and prayed for him. Thank God for people's prayers, right? You know, you meet a friend sometimes and say, man, you know, hey, Joe, I thought you're dead. You know, but, you know, he's still alive because of people's prayers. A lot of times I tell people, man, I thought you're dead. But I'm trying to get ready here. There's something wrong here, some invisible something. Got to move over here a little bit. Must be a big angel there. Yeah? Sitting like this. So, you know, what did I say? You know, never mind. I was talking about Paul. Paul gets stoned. I mean, can you imagine if somebody throws stones at you, how you'd look after? Get up among a bunch of rocks, bloody. I mean, your lip hanging out, maybe teeth, a couple teeth out. He goes back and tells the people, and he goes and preach again. I mean, God must have did something miraculous to him because didn't say he had any scars or bumps and bruises. I'm sure he might have had, I mean, he didn't have one stone. He had more than one stone hit him. Unless somebody just whacked him once and he went out and they said, let's leave him there. But no, the Bible said he was stoned by these people. They prayed for him and he went back into town to preach again. But then he comes and tells his people, listen to this. He says, it's not a joke. He said, through many trials we'll enter the kingdom of God. I mean, he just got stoned, beaten up, he's sent all over the place. But he had experiences. So don't you think you're going to get away with a little stone coming your way? Right? I was driving with Pastor Ken. He had a big crack on his window. I told him, I said, I thought you had a crack in the other one. He said, we have a crack in this one too. So I said, what are you guys doing? So anyway, I thought I was like, you know, the same vehicle, but I said, anyways, we're going to pray for him. So Paul is an example for us to continue no matter what we face. I know you're waiting for an answer, but nobody stoned you yet, and you don't have a crack window. So we can say things just because, you know, sometimes we say things because somebody else said it. But when we go through stuff with God and we walk with God, we can say it on not only the basis of the Word of God itself, but on our own personal experience, we can say something. We have some credibility, right? It's hard to believe people who always quit. But no matter what struggles we face, we don't quit. So here, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, let's go Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16, it says, very short here. But the Lord says to Saul, go, or at least speaking to the man here, this Ananias, he says, go, Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as to the people of Israel. Verse 16, I will show him how much fun he'll have in the ministry. No, he says, I'm going to show him how much things he must suffer for my namesake. So he knew that he's going to come up against some hard times. You see, a lot of us like to have Jesus appear to us, but we don't like to have stones thrown at us, right? So we say, I wish Jesus would just show me. But you never had stones thrown at you and be raised up from the dead? You know, the Bible says that at that time, scholars tell us, that he died and went to heaven during that particular experience. And he writes in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 11 or somewhere on there, or 2 Corinthians, he said he went up to heaven, to the third heaven, where God is. He said, I saw things there, I cannot explain heaven to you. I can't explain human terms. But he was raised up, and we know personally, I know people who went to heaven that are still preaching the gospel, friends of mine, close friends of mine who went to heaven. And I don't think they're crazy. I've heard a number of people who went to heaven. Saw heaven, went there. And one guy told me it's like going to a mall there. You know, looking at what they could buy. But, you know, different ones that I know who went there, went back and come back down. We want spectacular experiences like Paul. We want to have an angel visit us. I know when I have a problem, a real problem, I've been having some problems I've been having a long time, and they didn't come in manifestation right away, but I'm believing God. I know God's not deaf. He heard me. And I stopped crying about some things. The Lord said, don't cry about it. In fact, I was looking at a scripture. The Israelites were taken away, and God spoke to the parents and the people there that their children were taken away. God said, stop your crying. Your kids are coming back. And a lot of us need to stop crying about things, stop whining about things and complaining, and trust the Lord. Now, I realize it's hard. Brother Hagin always told us it's not easy when times are tough. I mean, when you're laying in the hospital with those tubes out of your chest and chest come out open, it wasn't easy, right? No. I'm glad you came back. You gave me $1,000 the other day. Amen. Thank God. Well, at least somebody else did from your corner. But thank God for that. Amen? So a lot of us want a spectacular, appearance of God. We want Jesus himself to appear. And we want angels to talk to us. We want to hear a voice coming from the sky. You know, here's what Brother Hagin always said. Every time I had a manifestation like that, there was always tough times ahead of me. So this guy, Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, says, I'm going to send you to all these places, and you're going to suffer some great trials. And I'm not going to personally tell you this. I've had some real experiences with God, and I would have quit the ministry if I didn't have those experiences. So God gives you an experience for you to hang on to things. It's not easy, so he'll help you. So don't worry about a manifestation. If God wants to give you one, he'll give you one. But in the meantime, thank God you never saw an angel. I said, thank God you never saw an angel, because there are going to be some tough times ahead. So this guy, after this situation, he said he must suffer for my namesake. How many times he was stoned? You read the catalog of 1 Corinthians 11 and 2 Corinthians 11 there, and you'll see how much times he had all the troubles and starvations he had, and all the fastings and all the jail time he had, and all the beatings he had, all the commotion he had, he went through. And no wonder Jesus appeared to him. So I'm sure when he was writing the letter to the Corinthians, and when he's writing the letter to the Philippians in jail, I wonder what he thought. Hey, I'm going to write a hard letter here to these guys, you know? So anyway, here we see in 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we don't look at the troubles we can't see now. In other words, don't look at the troubles. So rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. So what cannot be seen? Your prayer request can be seen. In other words, the word seen can be termed as things that you don't see in the natural, things that you don't experience right now that you prayed about. Maybe that's, you've been praying and standing, but it's not manifested yet. God says, don't look at the trial. Don't look at the clock and say, and determine from that clock that God didn't answer you. Don't wait for some kind of emotional experience and say, you know what? I really feel that God heard me this morning. My prayer time was so wonderful. In fact, I got up at 4 a.m. this morning. I didn't even feel tired. But I did fall asleep at 12 noon till 6 o'clock that day. So, you know, we have these things, you know. Now, verse 18, for the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. He's talking about things over there, but it's the same kind of principle we're looking at. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we live by believing and not by seeing. So when we're waiting for something, we're not living by some kind of feeling, because when we live by feelings, and Brother Hagin taught us this, he said, whenever you walk by your soul realm, the devil will beat you every time. In other words, you're walking according to whether you're telling, you're seeing if God's for you, if you feel good or not. That's not the way to tell if God's for you. Or if the situation changes, you pray. If the situation didn't change immediately, we say, well, I don't know if God heard me. We've got to pray harder this time. And maybe a little bit longer. I remember Brother Higgins said, he said he was bothered by this. Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying all with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He went to a lot of his friends and he asked him, what does that mean, praying in the Spirit? He said the people told him around him, all the other ministers said, that means you should add a little spizzerinctum. Little bit more oomph to your prayer. In other words, pray harder and longer and faster, and just go ahead and pray hard. That's what it means to pray in the Spirit. No, praying in the Spirit, the Bible defines it. Praying in the Spirit means you're praying in tongues. And a lot of people make fun of this. I see this all the time on TikTok, different ones. They make fun of praying in tongues. You know, even Christians. So, I got a little quiet. I hope you didn't do that, because, in John chapter 20, Jesus endorsed this method of living by faith and not walking by how you feel and whether or not God heard you, and you're praying. You've been praying for 6 months or 6 years now, and your answer really hasn't really manifested yet. Something that you're praying about. Maybe it's relatives. Maybe whatever it is you're praying about. Some things quicker can manifest. I always listen to Brother Hagin. He always says this. He said, I pray along a certain line, And, you know, I learned something. If I keep going a certain direction, if God didn't say anything, I just keep going. If he didn't give me a check for $10,000. You don't want to say a check. It means something on the inside of you. Like, hey, you better get out of there. There's something on the inside of you that says, don't do it. Don't buy that Honda. Right? We were at Honda today. And had all kinds of bells going on inside of me. You ever go to a car lot? Huh? How many of you have been to a car lot lately? You better stay out of there. Pastor Ken, you stay out of that car lot. I mean, yeah, you know? So we were at the car lot the other day. Pastor Ken and Sydney showed up. We're talking to a salesman, and all of a sudden, Pastor Ken jumped out of his car with his wife there. I thought he was a holy angel of God. Give me a vision. And this angel looks like Ken. So anyway, Jesus endorsed this thing about don't try to figure out God in his answers through natural means. Everybody say, I won't. Right after service, they say, did you feel any better? Uh-huh. Okay, so I realize I'm stretching it out a little bit. It's 8:02. But let's stretch it a little bit more. Here, just a few more minutes. John chapter 20. Is this okay, everybody? Don't walk out on me, okay, because I'll feel really bad. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts 20, 24 to 29. The New Living. Everybody say New Living. So Jesus endorsed that we should walk by faith and not by sight. Because when people pray, they feel like, you know, it should happen immediately. Or it should happen within a month. So they tell that God heard them by some kind of a feeling. You don't tell, you can't tell God heard you by some kind of feeling. Right? In fact, it could get worse. You could feel worse after, even though God heard you. So here in John 20, you got it? Verse 24. One of the 12, Thomas, nicknamed the twin. Well, he was not himself this time. was not with the others when Jesus came. In other words, he was absent, if you want the translation. So verse 25, they told him, we have seen the Lord. Everybody say, we have seen the Lord. Say, we have seen the Lord. In other words, Jesus came there where they were. They were held up in this hotel. They call it the upper room. Okay? I don't know who was paying the bill. But it probably Judas had the money, paid that. Yeah, whatever. He says, here's what his reply, big faith man. I said, Thomas, big faith man. He says, I won't believe it unless I see a Honda. No. He said, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in the hands. And put my finger into them and place my hand into the wound on the side. Man, he's asking a lot. I would have just said, just show me one hand at least. He wants both hands and also his feet. And his side too. I sound like Pastor Ken sometimes. Show me the money. No, he's a faith man. He just says, give me this car, give me that car, give me that car. We'll pay for it later. Okay. Calm down now. I know there's wings waiting for you. Somebody could taste that. They started to salivate. Think about the half-price wings. Verse 26, 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, can you imagine that? What would you do? Thomas, come here. I'm interpreting it my way. If I was Jesus, Thomas, come here right now. Huh? You don't believe I could go through walls? Huh? I'll put you through the door. That wouldn't be Jesus, eh? I mean, that'd be like you. Like, watch me disappear. Okay, all right. Anyway, he says, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into my wound and my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Verse 28, he says, my Lord, my God. I can see him sweating. Huh? Couldn't you just see it? He's just like, it is you, Lord. Where's my Pepsi? I know. Some of you are like, he's got a huge, his Pepsi bottle this huge. Mine is this small. Jimmy, where's my case? Anyway, forget Jimmy, I didn't say that. Verse 29, the Lord told them, because you have seen me, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. So, you know, you need to believe God when you don't feel right. You have to believe God when you're feeling sick that you're healed. You got to believe God that God answered you. We didn't feel any kind of spiritual feeling. You got to believe God the answer is coming when it even the clock didn't, when you put the time on the clock and you put the timer on. You ever do that? When you're waiting for the eggs or something, just, or, you know, 3 minutes. Lord, 3 minutes. 3 years later. 90 years later, he's coming by. Looking at that clock. So in spite of all the trials, Paul walked in obedience. He never shrunk back. In the face of the most difficult times, he walked by faith. This is our last scripture. Do you believe me? It is. Last scripture. But these are long scriptures. Let's close with this. Okay? Acts chapter 20. I mean, you get back here too. You get drunk back here. I told you there's an angel sitting there. One like this every once in a while. Acts chapter 20. You felt that too? Acts chapter 20, verse 18. Jerry, Acts 20. When they arrived, he declared, you know, from the day I came, I set foot in the province of Asia until now, verse 90, have done the Lord's work humbly, in my humble opinion, he says, with many tears. You know, serving God, you have tears sometimes. What? What? Yeah? Anybody ever cry once in a while? Besides me, So, I seen my wife cry. I pretend I didn't see her, though. So, I have endured trials that came to me from the plots of the Jews. I never shrank back. That's a good boy for the Lord. If I'm telling you what you needed to hear, he said that publicly in homes, they were against him, he just went out again and told them again about the things of God. I have one message for the Jews and the Greeks alike, a necessity of repenting from sin, turning to God, and having faith in the Lord our Lord Jesus. From now on, I'm bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I do not know what awaits me. He says the same thing just like Abraham did. I don't know what's ahead of me, but I'm going to go. I went to a place last night. I went to at 9 o'clock last night. I went to the hospital. A lady phoned me from Alberta. I went to see a friend of mine. He was in the hospital. I found him there. We were talking. He says to me, he said, I'm 76 years old now. He said, but you know what? I don't know what's happening next, but I'm anticipating something good. He says, guys like me just fall over and die. I was talking to this guy, I told him the other day, and then he died. But he said, I'm going to live. I'm expecting to live another 30 years. Praise the Lord. Well, if he wants to, then yeah. I'm not going to stop him. I'm not going to put one pebble in front of him. Right? I'm bound by the Spirit. I don't know what's going to wait, what awaits me. Now, verse 23. He doesn't know what's going to happen, but God told him something. Verse 23, he says, except that the Holy Spirit tells me that city after city, jail and suffering is ahead of me. Now, if God told you something, he said, you know, I want to ask you something here. I want you to go to the ministry. I want you to do this. Go to Faith City Church and you're going to have some trouble, but I want you to be there. Would you still obey? I want you to become a Christian. I want you to go here and do these things, whatever, but you can still have trouble. You see, you know, we think this faith life is always easy. So I'm trying to tell you right now, according to this scripture, it's not always easy. And you're not going to quit. You're not going to get up. You know, if you quit, we're going to come to your house and talk to you. So, verse 24, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord, the work of telling others of the good news about the wonderful things of God. So we need to get real about walking with God. Everything should be second to fulfilling the will of God. You have to ask yourself, what did God want me to do? What does He want me to do? If you're weak in that vision, you will fall off. Because you have to know for sure what God wants you to do. And I know for sure that God told me that this, I'm supposed to come here and be in this city and never leave the city. Be a pastor. Don't be traveling around. Stay here week after week, Wednesday after Wednesday, Sunday after Sunday. And don't worry about who comes, who doesn't come. I want you to stay here. The Lord said to me, so that's what I did. And just be happy about it. Because when I kneel before Jesus, He's going to ask me, did I tell you to do that? And I've complained a lot of times. The Lord had to correct me. He said, if I told you to do it, you stop your complaining. And you act like you're having a great time. So I said, okay. Everybody stand up.